Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And I know that you've heard that numerous times, but we have to keep saying that because every once in a while we have a new listener. So we want to make sure that they get all of the details. As we move forward, we'd like to let you know that we are on the Blog Talk Radio, as well as Zoom. For the Blog Talk Radio, for those who are listening by internet, you can call in if you'd like to participate, 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you're on, if you're listening, if you have a question, just hit the number one sign and a question mark comes up on our computer. Let's just know that you have a question for the speaker of the hour. We also like to let you know that you can listen to this message at the end of its entirety. Go into Blog Talk Radio, then type in, "We can begin again." Amen. You know that's the truth. We can begin again. Amen. So once you pull that up and you can listen to this message again and again and again and even share it with a friend. The other is if you would like to go to Zoom and you would like a face-to-face, you can go into the Zoom, and the Zoom number is 505-563-6808. Let me repeat that again for you. 505-563-6808. And once you get in, it'll prompt you to put in a passcode, and the passcode is capital P-S-A-L-M, Psalm without an S, 23, capital P-S-A-L-M. Psalm 23, and you can be connected on the Zoom. Amen. There is a call-in number, and the Zoom call-in number, if you'd like to call in and you don't want your face shown, amen, you can call in, and the call-in number is 309-205-3325. That's 309-205-3325. And once you get in there, it'll prompt you for a passcode, and the passcode would be the Zoom number. That's 505-563-6808, and you can be connected on Zoom. So we have multiple ways or multiple tools that you can have access to listen to this message and hear the Word of God. Amen. As we move forward, again, this is our closing, and the next voice that you hear will be none other than Pastor Reginald C. A. Miles from out of New Jersey. And would you please telephone, tell a friend that Pastor Miles is on the line and he has a word for not only you, but for them. Amen. Be a blessing to someone. When we come together, we're all connected together for the love of God. Amen. We're connected and good things happen when we're connected together. Amen. So we're going to move out of the way, and the next voice you hear, as I said, will be none other than Pastor Reginald C. A. Miles. Pastor Miles from out of New Jersey. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Brother Moderator. How are you doing today?
I am wonderful. I am wonderful. Just glad to be here and glad to be in the presence of Jesus. Amen. Because anytime Jesus is in the midst, great things begin to happen. So I'm feeling good about it.
Amen to the truth about that. I tell you, I've been doing a lot of preaching lately. I mean, the doors have been just swinging and open, and I just knew. I know for a long time that I'm a regular every third Wednesday. And then remember I had the last third Wednesday, and then you called me to help out then. And then I had some other type of duties to do, and then just Sunday. I was actually in the Bronx at my fiance's church, the pastor, Greater Universal Baptist Church in the Bronx, New York.
Greater Universal,
yes, yes, in the Bronx. And the pastor there is Reverend Gregory Covey.
Amen.
And we had a glorious time there.
Praise God.
And I went to work on Monday, and I sat there and I was like, "Oh, I ain't got nothing else to do for the rest of the week." I said, "I'm good." Now, everywhere I go, I carry my Bible with me. I says, "Oh, I'm good. I can relax." You know, I had a rough 3-4 weeks, and so I could sit back and relax. And as I sat at my desk, Spirit of God says, "You have blog on Wednesday." I was like, "Oh yeah, I forgot." I said, "Okay, so sitting there at my desk at the job, Lord said, okay. Let's get to work."
Mm-hmm.
And so I went on, and I was write the things down that he had given them to me, and I was writing them down and writing them down and writing them down. And normally, in normal situations, whenever I'm preparing a message, a sermon, a Bible study, or anything, I do my ending first,
mm-hmm.
the way I want to get to. And then once I do the ending, theme or the topic. But it didn't happen this way this time. Lord would just give me information. I'm just writing it down, writing it down, writing it down. And so, excuse me, have the scripture and all, but no topic. And I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there, saying, okay, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. And fiance kept saying, you ready? You ready? Like, no, I ain't ready. I ain't ready. And don't worry, you'll be ready. I said, you and Brother Margaret always think you're going to be ready. I said, y'all didn't cut that mess out. Well, I have a message for you on tonight. And for those of you who have went, I've never been to a theological seminary, but I've heard. I'm getting ready on tonight. We're going to call it a Bible study. Because all preaching and Bible, all preaching and theological sermon preparation, I'm going totally against that tonight. Hoping and praying that you will get the message. Now, you normally give your foundation text, you give your theme, you go from there. I'm not doing that first time. Because I really want this to stick to you. How many of us, over a period of time, have heard this thing called the gospel of prosperity? I call it the gospel of the dollar bill is when they what they're really talking about. The gospel of prosperity are talking about prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's look at it. How many people really want to be poor? Who wants to be poor? Who wants to live in lack? Who wants to live without? Who wants to beg for what they need to survive for? Who wants to beg for their needs? Who wants to do such a thing? Something goes out, you don't have the wherewithal to replace it. Who wants to live like that? I don't think anybody wants to live like that. Who doesn't want to live life on easy street? I mean, not to worry about anything, having life and living life with all of your needs met and being in abundance. And things are overflowing to the degree that other people can come to you and in your life and take, receive, and you can give, and it still keeps flowing. Who doesn't want to live in that kind of prosperity? But when I'm speaking right now of this kind of prosperity, more often than not, people are thinking about money. Thinking about the dollar bill. Now, big in the 1990s, early 2000s, y'all remember how these preachers were coming on TV, talking, teaching, and preaching that prosperity gospel? And folks jumped on it because they want their stuff. I don't have to call any names. If you've been in church any length of time and you've been watching Christian television, you heard this prosperity gospel. But where did this prosperity gospel come from? That they're teaching, or that they were teaching, and some are still teaching it. Where it come from? Many people don't even know where it came from. Well, I'm going to tell you. It came from a lady named Mary Baker Eden. The founder of the Christian Science movement, the new religion. Mary Baker Eden. Research it for yourself. Founder of the Christian Science, a new religion movement that actually started up in New England, in the New England region. And see, and then what happened when she came with that, that actually got Pentecostalized by Kenneth Hagin. She put the Pentecostal spin on it, and then, since I grew up under this denomination, then the Baptists picked up on it. And now people have picked up on it, but don't even know where it came from. And then using scripture in the Bible to manipulate scripture so you can get your stuff, so you can get your material gain, so you can get your money, so you get your dollar bill, so you could be wealthy. Well, you want your financial prosperity? What you need to do is get you a job. Work. Save your money. Invest wisely. Stay away from the malls and the stores. Eating with your eyes. Getting everything your eyes see. You want it, you spend it. You need to stop spending your money on the women and liquor. Hold on to it. And once you do that, save a little bit at the time, invest a little bit at the time, and wisely do it. Do some sense with it. You will have your financial prosperity by putting something away. But people don't want to do that. They want that quick fix. They want to get it fast. We look at people in the Bible who had riches. Just the other week, I talked about the barn building fool. I talked about that. I talked about how he was eating with his eyes. He looked upon everything. I'm going to tear down my barns and build it up for my fruits and gain. And tell my soul, oh, we're going to eat, drink, and what happened with the Lord? His soul was required of him. Financial, material gain, that prosperity, that's what he wanted. Also, when you go to Luke, the ninth chapter, let's turn there. I want to show you something. Luke chapter 9. And we're going to go to we're going to start at verse 57. When you go from 57 down to 62, read that when you have a chance. But out of this, I'm going to go to verse 57 and 58. Where it's actually talking about the test of discipleship. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, I will follow thee, whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds have nests, of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Now, Jesus turned away from him and turned to another. That man was not ready, he was not willing to give up that he had. And if you take a look and you read that whole chapter, you'll see that's talking about that material prosperity. Not willing to give that up. When you go over to, when you get a chance, I want you to read Matthew, the sixth chapter. Verses 19 to 21. Turn to that quickly, but we're not really going to read those scriptures. We're talking about having your treasures in heaven. I want to make sure I give you the scriptures because I don't want to run out of time. I want you to get all of it. But you're working. Many people are just working so that they can say that they're rich. Comes to money, for them, too much is never enough. They want that prosperity. Well, let's look and see what Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And I want you to look at verse 4. The first part of that verse talks around and says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Notice that now. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Okay? Please remember that verse. When we turn around and we ask people, we'll present the question to people, why are you working so hard? Why do you want this prosperity so bad? Why do you want this financial prosperity so bad? I'm submitting to you. Get rich. Get rich. But get rich in a different way. When you turn around and look at the theme for today, we're talking about get rich or die trying. And that's what many people are doing right now. They're trying to get rich and they're killing themselves for this financial gain. But I want to submit to you there's a different level of prosperity that you can get rich at. Don't get rich. Keep trying. Get rich and die trying for what I'm going to show. This type of prosperity. Many people say, well, I want to be able to leave things for my family. I've heard others say, I want to leave things for my children. And then some will even get more spiritual, as they say, spiritual and holy. They want to go to Proverbs 13:22 and say, well, I want to leave things for my children's children. The Bible says, a good man, you know, leaves his inheritance for his children's children. Okay, let's stop right there. Let's be logical about this. We're going to go over that scripture, but let's think. Let's think for a minute here. Everybody will not be that rich where they can leave money for their children's children. Everybody will not be in a financial situation before they leave here to put things for their children's children in a prosperity way, in an inheritance way. I want to show you. Let's rightfully divide some words and see what it can be talking about and see how we can get rich. And if we're not rich at it, let's start trying to get there. Let's turn to our foundation text. 3 John, as the old preachers used to say, let's turn to 3 John. And the reason why they would call it 3 John is because that number 3 would be written in a Roman numeral. That's how they come up with the 3 John. Now, 3 John is only read the first 4 verses. We're not going to read to the degree that we can prove that we can read. But we're going to read so that the word of God will minister to us. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. Now, it's pronounced Gaius in English, or Gaius if you want to pronounce it in the Greek. I'm English. I'm English. American. I'm going to say Gaius, whom I love in truth. If you write in your Bible, please underline the word truth. Verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that ye may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. How many times have you heard preachers say that and use that as a basis to get your material gain, to get your prosperity? The Bible speaks about prosperity. Read that verse right there. Okay, let's go a little bit further. Verse 3. For I've rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth, of the non-truth, that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. Verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Every time you see truth in these four verses, these four verses, underline it. Verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. Is it safe to say that this is talking about material gain? Yes. I want to see you prosper. I want to see you grow. Nothing wrong with growing financially. There's nothing wrong with having a few dollars in your pocket. There's nothing wrong with having a few dollars in the bank. There's nothing wrong with having money in investment. There's nothing wrong with having the precious metals. There's nothing wrong with having the jewels. Because those things are a symbol of your labor that you can use barter with later if you need to. So John is writing to Gaius and says, I want you to prosper. He says, I wish. In other words, I pray that in all things that you prosper. In all things that you prosper. And be in health. How many times people trying to prosper materially but working themselves into a sickness?
That's good, sir. Mm-hmm.
Running and chasing behind a dollar. He said to him, he says, look, I want you to prosper, but also be in health. Watch this. I'm going to read it from the beginning to the start. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So what is the first thing out of these three things, or which one is the most important out of these three things that you think John wants him to prosper in? He wants him to prosper in his soul first.
That's good, sir.
And if you've been following New Beginnings Ministry any length of time, and you've been coming in on third Wednesday, you have heard me say this before. What are the five elements or the five components of your soul? There's one person I quiz this regularly. What are the five components or elements of your soul? I'm going to give them to you again. Your mind, your will, your imagination, your intellect, and your emotion. Your mind, your will, your imagination, your intellect, and your emotion. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospers. If you can get that, and you working towards that, in this area, get rich. Soul prospering. Get rich there. Or die trying. Soul prospering. Your mind, your will, your imagination, your intellect, your emotion. Get rich there. Or die trying. Don't try to get rich by working, because you see what Proverbs 23:4 say, don't work to be rich. Get rich in your soul of driving home or die trying. What about Proverbs 13:22? Well, let's turn there. This is another scripture that's talked about regularly. But we have been told and commanded to rightly divide the word of truth. So let's rightly divide the word of truth. Turn to Proverbs 13:22. People say, well, I'm going to leave an inheritance for my children's children. I'm going to work. I'm going to have this. I'm doing this. Many people not going to have that kind of money. So apparently, we have not rightfully divided this scripture. That may be in New York, in New Jersey, in the state where you're at, the poor community financially. How many of those people do you think will have the material gain to leave for their children's children? So I submit to you, that's not what the scripture is saying, the way we have been taught. Let's look at it. Good man leaving an inheritance for his children's children. In this scripture, what is it talking about, good man? What is it talking about, a good man? It's meaning a morally good person. A morally good person will leave an inheritance for his children's children. Why? Because his soul, mind, his will, his imagination, intellect, and emotion, you can leave that type of inheritance for your children and your children's children called wisdom. Now, a good man or a good woman can leave this type of inheritance. And once you can leave that type of inheritance for your children and your children's children, guess what? Now you are rich. And if you're not rich, stop trying to get there. I pray that you pick it up with the word of putting down. So you want true prosperity? You want true prosperity? Get prosperous in your soul. Because he says in here, even as your soul prospers. Put a monetary value on silver. You can put a monetary value on gold, onyx, pearls, rubies. But what type of monetary value can you put on when your soul rots? That's how you get rich. Get rich this way, die trying. And I submit to you, when you try to get rich this way, you will be aided by the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you do that? Scripture's clear. Let's go to Timothy. Thank you. This wasn't even in my notes. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy, verse 15. Let's go to verse 16 as well. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodly. Feed your soul the word of God. And then this is something that you can leave for your children. That moral compass. And you're feeding them the richness of the word of God. Get rich or die trying and feeding your soul. Brother Moderator, please open up the mic. So concerned.
All my children. Any comments? Mic's open. All you have to do is just talk.
Praise the Lord. It is important to lead your children to Christ and fill them with wisdom. Like in Luke 2:40, it says, and the children grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon it. So it's important for us to instill, bring our kids to Christ, lead them to Christ, you know, and teach them while they're young so that they can grow knowing the word of God and living their life fully in the word of God, you know, even a godly life.
That is giving information an inherent moral wisdom. Let me read to you in the Amplified Version of Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. Now, we're quick to say the first part and the second part that, yeah, the wicked stuff is going to come to us. We're quick to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But are we feeding our soul for our soul to be prosperous? Is there another comment, question, or concern? Anybody out there?
All mics open.
Good evening, brothers. This is Deacon Bradley in Michigan.
I just want to say that, you know, you did a good job. I understood what you were saying. I understood your point. Your points are well taken. Live in a society today that is so focused on wealth accumulation, wealth this and wealth that. And people just don't take time to realize everything that they got. You know, for a Christian to have that peace, that sound mind is just wonderful. I forget the scripture that says that. But we miss that. And for a Christian, that's your whole heart. You're at peace. You're at peace with yourself. You're at peace with your family. And you're mainly at peace with God. Oh, my goodness. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day, week, year, heaven. And you're at with God. Because things are going to come at you. That's going to happen in life. But when you have that peace of mind, oh, my goodness. It is just wonderful. It is just wonderful. Yes, your soul does prosper. Your mind is just at peace. So yes, good luck. Well, you want to know where the scripture is. I think you must have been in my notes. You have your Bible? Turn to Psalms 37 and verse 11.
Okay. Psalms 37, verse 11.
Psalm 37 and verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and all of the light, and all the light itself, in the abundance of peace. When you feed your soul to prosper and to be, you rich. And you will have peace.
Yeah.
See, when the Lord adds to it, there's no sorrow. I know I'm paraphrasing the scripture.
Amen. Amen.
There's no sorrow. Is there another? We have about 16 minutes left for the broadcast.
Any comments? My soul.
Yes. Good evening, This is I'm so blessed and I couldn't leave where I had to go to another, had to go do something else. But I like what you said about, you know, we want wealth and we'll die trying to get it. But then you said, and that was so good, get rich in your soul. Or die trying. Okay. That was good. A good man wants to leave his children with moral values. And I thought about when you was talking about, we always think about money. And I'm saying, wow, like you said, I didn't have no money to leave to my children or my children's children. But if I could leave these things that you've just given to us tonight, that's more valuable than anything. Because, you know, money, if you can spend money, you have it, and money don't last long. But these things that you're talking about, these are life values, things that they can have, your mind, your will, imagination, and I don't know what was that other one you had in emotion? I can't read what I was. It's in French, so I can't read it in English.
It's like an emotion.
Yes. But this was so good. I thank you so much. I got a lot out of that I really didn't understand. I always thought about it as in terms of money, but you put a different spin on it. I thank you so much. God bless you.
Let me give you an example. I pray that most of you will get it. Here in New Jersey, back in the 70s, there was a TV show that came on CBS Channel 2 called Good Time. Or was it Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday. What time it came? I think it was Tuesday. It was the same time Pastor came on.
Yes.
And there was a character named, he's from New Jersey, a big brother in my neighborhood, knows him very well, James Amos, John Amos, who played James.
Yes.
He's from Orange, New Jersey. And one of my big brothers in the old neighborhood, they're very good friends. James put in his children, J.J. Thelma and Michael, good moral fibers.
Yes.
And when James died, all three of them kept that good moral fiber, but they were poor.
Wow. What a blessing.
Now, could Proverbs 13:22 be talking about money all over again? Now, we saw on the bull tube, on the television, something called the idiot. He died in Alaska, but he put in a good moral fiber. He was a good man, but he died, and they kept it.
Moral fiber.
Let your soul be your moral compass. How's it going to be your moral compass? You've got to get the word of God in it so that that mind, that wisdom, that passion, that can be rich.
Yes.
I command you, and I charge you right now, if you're not rich, get rich in your soul or die trying to do it.
All right. Amen.
Yeah, you're going to be held accountable for this word.
Yeah.
You want to be rich? This is how you get rich. And you can pass it on to your children's children.
Yeah.
Get rich in your soul or die trying.
Wow.
Any other comments? Any other comments? Anyone else would like to make a comment?
I got on a little late, but this is good word here, Pastor Miles.
Yes.
God bless you. Always bring it, sir. When Elder John, when Dr. John sent me your title, I said, oh, he going to go with this. I know where he's going. But you know what? The wealth, the riches, the wealth is in the word of God. It's what that's the greatest inheritance we can leave to our children and children.
Amen.
I don't have any children.
Yeah.
Children's. Yeah. Because money comes and goes. You can't take it with you. But what you can take with you is the richness of the Spirit of God that you partake, that you put and you give to your children and the people around you, actually. And you're doing that, Pastor Miles. You're doing just that. And I thank God for you, sir. God bless you. I have to go back and listen to this again.
Okay. Is there another? We always have room for one more. Amen. I am going to ask if Minister Graham, if she would pray over the man of God for this evening.
Praise the Lord. Let us bow our heads. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you as humble as we know how, thanking and praising you, O God, for who you are. Thank you for being our Lord and our Savior, our God, in whom we trust. O Father God, I'm asking you on tonight, Lord Jesus, to bless Pastor Miles, Lord. Continue, Lord, to use him for your will, your way, and for your glory. Lord, we thank you for the word, Lord, that you have put in his heart, that he has brought forth to the people, to your people, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we were able to receive it, Father God. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Lord, continue to bless him and keep him, Lord, Father God. And, oh, Father God, we ask you to bless each and everyone on this line as well.
Yes.
All these many blessings we ask in the name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, we thank you for what you have done in all of our lives. And we thank you, Father God, for what you're about to do. Amen.
Thank you, Minister Graham. Now, Pastor, my closing remarks, my comments, to you. I definitely, like others, have said that that title is catchy. It's catchy. Catchy enough to want to make someone to listen. And I have learned over time that the title makes all the difference in the world, even as far as reading a book. When you go into a library, the title is what's going to capture your attention to make you want to read or to see what the book is about. So I thought it was an outstanding title. And when I think about it in terms of all that you said, what came to my spirit was, you know, when it talks about the Word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. We live in a dark world, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It gives us illumination of the direction that God wants to take us. And then after he takes us and gets us to where we are, you're saying, get rich or die trying. You know, and I think about it, says, train up a child in the way they should go. But when they depart, they'll know the way. And that's what this is all about, passing the torch on. Passing the torch on, trying and trying and trying. And we can get even a little deeper and go into the kids, the youth of today, passing that torch on. Passing that torch on. Get rich or die trying. Die trying to share the gospel with those that do not know the way. So I think it was definitely a blessing to my spirit, and I'm sure it's a blessing to others as well. I'm going to pass it on over to you for your closing remarks. And again, thank you so much for such a timely and a provoking title, as well as the Word of God.
One thing that I want to do that we do here at New Beginnings Ministry, the doors will stretch open. If you're on the line tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sins, and you desire to be rich in your soul, you desire to be rich in your mind, your will, your imagination, your intellect, and your emotion, receive him now in your heart. Believe that he died on the cross, went down in the grave, rose on the third day with all power in his hand. Do that, and you will be saved. If you want someone to pray with you, press the number one on your phone. We here will reach out to you on tonight to pray with you. If you need a church home and don't have one, we will help to guide you to one in your region. If you don't have a church home and you want to continue to draw from this ministry, please do. As I said, we're here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. We have an archive of over 500 messages that you could pull from.
Mm-hmm.
You could pull 24, 25 in a 25-hour period. Now, as we said, back in the old Baptist church, if our hearts and minds are clean, let us prepare to be dismissed. Our Father and our God, we come to you once again, thanking you for life, health, and strength, thanking you for all that has been said, all that has been done, all that has been shared.
Yes.
Lord, let us eat it up, digest it, and live it out so that we will give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And Lord, as we move forth and we present ourselves to the world, let us to be continually reminded, when we present ourselves to the world, we represent you all over again. Keep that in the forefront of our mind. Now unto him that has the power to establish you according to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, keep your mind, will, imagination, intellect, and emotion pure before him and faultless. Now may the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in each and every one of us, now, here, and forevermore. And the church said, amen. Remember, we love God, loves us.
Amen. It's so hard to understand how a life that I had planned stole my joy and left me far behind. Though all I have is lost, it seems, from the shadow of a dream that used to be. I can look beyond the sky, deep into the Father's eyes, and see that there is hope for one like me. I can begin again with the passion of a child. My heart is cultivation of a life that's still worthwhile. I can reach out. No matter.